Amen. Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I appreciate that special, and what an awesome and holy God we serve. We need to be reminded of that every day, especially on this first day of the week. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 is going to be our text this morning as we continue talking about discipleship. In the Great Commission, the Lord commanded His church to go and make disciples. Those that we go and preach the gospel to, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We baptize those believers, then we continue to teach them not just all things that Christ commanded, but to observe, to do all things that Christ commanded. And in order for this church to fulfill that great commission, that means that you and I are going to have to be faithful in following Christ so that we can encourage others to follow Christ. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so I hope that people will follow me to the extent that I follow Christ. If anywhere I get off track, I don't want people to follow me the wrong way, but I do want to lead people in following Christ. But that's not the job of the pastor exclusively. And until we get to a place where every member of the church is genuinely, seriously, faithfully following Christ, and every member of the church is doing all they can to bring others to a place where they're following Christ, this church is not fulfilling the Great Commission. We're not being what God called us to be. We're not doing what the Lord called us to do. It's my conviction that you and I ought to all be disciples, and by definition, that means we're making disciples who are making disciples. And so today I want to speak to you about teaching others, because that's the call here that Paul gives to Timothy, and he challenges this young pastor, and he also teaches in the churches that it's the pastor's job to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Really, our jobs aren't that much different. My job is to be a real disciple and help others to be disciples, and that's really your job as well. If we hope to be used of God to teach others, then we're going to have to grow in our faith and obedience to the Word of God. Now, we don't know everything, but we do have to know the things that we hope to pass on to others. I can't teach you what I don't know. We can't be perfect, though I'm sure some of you are very, very close. We can't be perfect, but we do have to be obedient in the things that we hope to pass on. Some of you grew up in homes where you were taught, do as I say, not as I do. And that rarely, if ever, works. That's not what God's called us to be. He's called us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then He's called us to pass on the things that we've learned. Let's stand together if you're able. 2 Timothy 2:2. Can everybody see it on their Bible page or up on the screen? Let's read this out loud together. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Please help us to get the things in our hearts that you want us to today. I pray that you would help us to, as we just take those truths into our hearts, that they sink down into our ears and into our hearts, and that they change and transform our lives, and that you'd use us to reach others, Lord. Father, I thank you for those who have come before us, who have taught us and helped us to grow in Christ. I pray for those that come behind us, that we can be faithful to pass these things on to them, Lord. I pray that you would help this church to be a soul-winning church. I pray that you'd help this church to be a disciple-making church. I pray that you'd forgive us where we fall short and help us to be more faithful today and tomorrow than we've ever been before. We praise your name for those who have been saved and added to the number through baptism. We pray you'll help us to see many more come, that you would multiply the number of the disciples here at Calvary for your glory. Please bless your church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. I want you to notice the different levels or generations that you see. He talks about the things that you've heard of many witnesses. In other words, he's speaking to young Timothy. He says, you've learned some things from those people who have come before you. And that's one step. And you've taken those things and you have them in you. That's the second generation, the second level. But then he says, I want you to take those things and I want you to commit those to faithful men. And so he's to take the things that he's learned and got in him, and he's to pass it on to the third level. and pass it on to those men. But it doesn't stop there. He says, pass it on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's the fourth level. You see, there's four generations, four levels of discipleship that are happening because somebody took what they learned and passed it on to someone else so that they could pass it on to someone else. And that's really what ought to be happening in the church. Now, how many of you are thankful, though, for those who taught you growing up? Man, I'm so thankful for faithful men and women of God. I think about my Sunday school teachers when I was growing up. I think about Miss Wanda Bennett. I can remember sitting in the Sunday school class and her teaching me the Word of God. And Sister Wanda's been gone to be with the Lord for a long time now. And I think about those faithful pastors who stood and preached the Word and taught me. I think about my pastor when I was a teenager who took me out soul winning and taught me what it was to knock on a door and have the boldness to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm even thankful for my pastor when I was growing up a little older, Steve Spires. He's my brother-in-law. I mean, he's a blessed man of God, married into a wonderful family. I've told you before, I'll never forget the day that Brother Steve came into my bedroom. I was 13, 14. I was probably watching cartoons because cool kids watch cartoons. Amen. Thank you. I count on you, Josiah. Brother Steve came into my bedroom. He got down on one knee and he proposed to me. It was a little awkward, but he said, Isaac, will you be my brother-in-law? And I said, whatever, man, get out of here. This is so weird. Years, Brother Steve's been faithfully pastoring Landmark Missionary Baptist Church in Vian, and he's been a great testimony. He's been a great witness. He's been a great leader and a great friend, and my brother, I'm thankful for him. I think about some of the men who pastored this church and the legacy they left behind. Those men were an encouragement to me as a young man coming to youth rallies. Brother Spiller and Brother Crawford have always been a great encouragement to me and a great help to me. And I'm so thankful for all those who have come before. There's some men in our church, and I'm always astounded at how God's worked things out. Brother Rick Adams is sitting in the back of the room, and I remember God using him so tremendously in my life as a young man preaching revivals. And it was one night after Brother Rick preached a revival at Landmark that on the way home, I was 17 years old, and I surrendered my life to the Lord. I had no idea what God wanted to do. I just knew he was dealing with me, and I said, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but whatever it is, if you'll help me, I'll do it. I'm so thankful for Brother Rick. He's been such a great encouragement. I don't know if you know this, but not all pastors are encouraging. You're looking at me like, we know. Not all pastors are encouraging to young men coming up in the ministry. They don't encourage them. I had one pastor one time tell me, if you could do anything else, I was a young pastor, he said, if you could do anything else, do it. And I thought, brother, I got a list of 1,000 other things that I could do right now. That wasn't helpful to me. I almost quit the ministry because of that advice. But then I had other men who said, if you even think you have an opportunity to give your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, why would you want to do anything else? If God would call you out of the world and allow you, listen, you'd be stepping down to do anything else. There's no higher calling than to give your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful. Brother Bill Conley sitting over here. He was one of my instructors at seminary at Landmark Baptist Theological Seminary in Oklahoma City. He taught me a lot of great things, and he taught me about, I think he was my Hebrew teacher. I'm sorry, Brother Bill, none of it stuck. What he did teach me was the importance of the Word of God and standing on the authority of the Word of God and how we need to be careful of all the influences in our life because it's God's Word. That's the final authority in everything. We can trust our Bibles and we can stand on the Word of God. I'm thankful for those who've come before. And he says, the thing that you've heard among many witnesses, I'm thankful for those faithful witnesses. And I want to be a man who takes those things and passes it on to others. Who can pass it on to others. You know, over the last 5 years, I've seen God start to do that in our church, and it's so exciting. You know, there's some people here today that I thank God he gave me the privilege to knock on their door and give them the gospel, or to meet them and give them the gospel, and they either got saved or got in church, got baptized, they're serving God. But there are others in the church right now today that I had no part in that. Someone else in the church witnessed to them. Someone else in the church encouraged them. Someone else in the church passed some things on to them. And I praise God to see that multiplication take place in the church. Listen, we've got to be willing to teach people and to pass on these things. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And friends, we've got to keep it going. I thank God for Brother Rick and Brother Bill. I thank God they're still here, but other men who were mentors and encouragement to me, they're not here anymore. Mike Raines isn't here anymore. Bob Spears wasn't in the ministry. Really, he was in the ministry less time than I was, but he was such an encouragement. He's such a giant in the faith, and he's not here anymore. I'm just telling you that our time is limited, so we've got to pass it on so it can be passed on. Now, I'm talking to you about pastors and those who have influenced me, and certainly all of us have those witnesses that have come before, but this isn't about just a legacy of pastor to pastor. This is a legacy of disciple to disciple. This is one person who's trying to follow Jesus, helping another person try to follow Jesus so they can help other people to follow Jesus. We need people to teach us. We need people to help us. Now, some of you might point out that the Bible says that the Spirit of God, we don't need anybody to teach us because the Spirit will teach us, but the person who wrote that was teaching the church. So the Spirit is the one that's going to bring that into your hearts and minds. He's going to do that final work of giving you that truth and implanting it in you, but you still need someone to give you instruction. How can you understand if somebody doesn't guide you? And we need instructors, we need teachers to help us and point us in the right direction. Because how many times have you taken one verse out of context and gotten all messed up? And we need people to help us with that. We need those teachers. We need somebody to teach us. Sometimes, how many of you have had to have on-the-job training? Anybody ever had on-the-job training? Most of the on-the-job training that I ever received in my life was, here, I'm going to show you how to do this once. And you better pay attention. Because then I'm going to go do something else and you're going to be on your own. Anybody else have instruction like that? That's the way we did it. The cabinet shop, working with my dad. And you don't want to sneeze or anything while the instruction's going on because you're going to be messed up. And I messed up a lot of things because I didn't pay attention like I should have. But listen, God's instruction for us to be disciples, to make disciples, a little different than that. He doesn't want us to just show somebody one time and then leave them on their own. But we're to be in the trenches together as soldiers. We're to be on the track together as marathon runners. And we're side by side encouraging one another. And we're working together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Instruction is really important. Speaking of the cabinet shop, I told some of you before, how many of you know what a table saw is? Buddy? It's important you understand that for the story I want to tell you. Brother Steve, before he was a pastor, he got his degree is in safety. So he came and did a lot of the safety work at the cabinet shop, make sure everything was, you know, in case OSHA shows up, because that's your worst nightmare for OSHA to show up. You'd rather see the IRS than OSHA. But one day he went to the back of the shop. We have this massive table saw. It's the same one, by the way, that he cut his fingers off on. And so he went to the back, and there was a fella, a new guy, and he had a sheet of plywood right up here under his neck. And he was running it on the table saw. And as he walked up, the guy was going like this with it, just walking it down, cutting it. Now, the guard was all the way to the other side. The fence was on the other side, and this guy's cutting, and Steve comes up and hits the stop button and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm cutting this. I'm going through this cut sheet." He said, "Well, what are you doing with it like that? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, it says right here on the paper to cut with the grain." Now, I don't know if anybody gets that, but those of you that do, just so you understand, the man nearly decapitated himself. It's the point of the story. What it means to cut with the grain is if you take a 4x8 sheet of plywood, the grain runs in one direction or the other. And sometimes you cut cross grain, and sometimes you cut with the grain, but you're to cut with the grain at a certain dimension, say 24 inches. So you set the guard at 24 inches and you cut it long ways. This fellow was trying to cut out along the pattern of the grain with a table saw. The best part of the story was Steve said he was doing a pretty good job. That man got some instruction on how to use a broom after that. And was instructed to never, ever, ever touch a saw in the shop again. Now listen, I don't know if there were drugs involved in that situation or not, but it's highly likely that there were. But listen, you can't, some people need a little instruction. We all need a little instruction. See, that guy might not have had a clue. Obviously didn't have a clue, but somebody should have been there holding his hand and helping him to make sure he understood. So that's just as much on whoever his supervisor was as it was on that guy. And sometimes we look in the church and we see people that don't seem to be doing very well, and they don't really seem to be understanding, and they're not really growing, and they're not really getting it, and they're not getting involved, and certainly that's on them. But at some point, it's also on us. Because we've got to be demonstrating. Can I say very quickly that we ought to know the Word? 2 Timothy 3:15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy was taught the Scriptures from an early age. He had to know the Word of God to give the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Not only did he know it from growing up at home, but he knew it from being taught by the Apostle Paul. We've got to know the Word of God if we're going to pass it on. We got to know the Word. We've got to grow in the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We've got to be diligent in the Word of God. No Bible, no breakfast. We need to be faithful in church. We need to study the Bible day by day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We have to know the Word. We have to be growing in the Word. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Don't be led astray by false teachers. I've told you before, I want to tell you again, you need to be careful who your influences are. A lot of people preaching and teaching Bible on YouTube, but not very much of it's worth listening to. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. 1 Timothy 4:13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And this saving is not talking about our eternal salvation, but by being faithful and continuing in the Word, we save ourselves from falling into false doctrine. We save ourselves from falling into the wrong things. And we help others to stay faithful. We've got to know the Word, we've got to grow in the Word, and we've got to show the Word. Listen, he says, continue in them, you'll save. You got to take heed to yourself and what you're doing and the things that you believe, because you're going to be an example to other believers. We know it, we grow in it, and we show it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul said, listen, I want you to understand as a church, I don't want you to just get the things that I said, what I taught you, but I want you to notice what I did, because I wasn't just a hearer of the word, I was a doer of the word. I want you to look at my life and see how I was faithful to the things that I taught you. And it's got to be evidence in our life that it's real. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's got to be real in our lives. I can't just tell you what to do. I've got to live it out. Romans chapter 2, verse 21 says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Listen, it doesn't do me any good to stand up here and tell you not to steal or not to do anything. If I'm not being obedient to what I'm saying, I'm not going to be effective. You ever seen a parent smoking a cigarette telling their kids, don't smoke these things, they'll kill you? That's not effective. It's not effective. If I'm shoveling donuts down my throat and tell my kids they really eat too many sweets, it's not very effective. If I stand up here and tell you you ought to read your Bible every day, but I don't read my Bible every day, how effective is that going to be? See, what you do is screaming so loudly, no one can hear what you say. We teach our children far more by what we do than what we say. If you want to teach your children the importance of going to church, but then you miss church for every ball game that comes along, every ball practice that comes along, any opportunity, every sniffle or anything like that, you're going to stay home. You're not teaching their kids the importance of church. You're actually teaching them that it's not very important. If I want to teach my children that soul winning is important and having a time to go out and reach the community with the gospel is important, but any little thing comes up keeps me from being at soul winning on Tuesday nights, I'm actually teaching them that it's not that big of a priority. See, what we do has to come from what we know and grow in the Word of God. Will you look at Hebrews 5 with me, please? Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I want to be a disciple maker. I want to follow Jesus and help other people to follow Jesus. But if I'm not doing the things, if I'm not using the truths that God's given me in my daily life, then I'll never be able to pass it on to somebody else. We've got to know the word, grow in the word, and show the word. It's got to be evident in our life. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He says you need to be in Christ. You need to take the things that you've learned, that you've been taught from the scriptures, and you need to do them to live it out. So how do we go about teaching others? Well, we got to know the word and grow in the word and show the word. And as we get these things internalized in our lives, then we need to pass them on to others. And I submit to you, we can do that in at least three ways. First of all, we've got to do it naturally. As we spend time with one another, if you know a little bit more, if you're more mature in your Christian walk, then you ought to naturally mentor and disciple and teach and admonish and exhort others from the Word of God. Encourage them in a faithful walk with God and help them to grow more in the Word of God. It ought to happen naturally. which means that we ought to spend time with each other. When you spend time with each other outside of church, you ought to naturally talk about the things that you've learned from the Word of God. There ought to be more to our conversations than just the weather and work. And it ought to happen because it's what's in our heart. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. How many of you are grandparents? See the grandparents' hands? How many of you grandparents talk about your grandkids on a regular basis? My mom loves her grandkids. She loves them so much, she said that if she could have just got the grandkids without the kids, she would do that. It doesn't work that way. My mom likes to talk about her grandkids because she loves her grandkids. Her heart is full with her grandkids, and it naturally comes out of her mouth. Some of you fellas love deer hunting. I mean, you love it so much. It doesn't even matter. I could be talking about pizza dough. You hear the word dough and you start talking about deer hunting. I mean, it's just there. Why? Because it fills up your heart. You love it. Whatever it is that's in our heart, that's what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And it ought to be that our hearts are filled with the Word of God day after day, and it just naturally comes out. That when you get around somebody that's new in the church and you're talking to them, maybe you talk about the weather, maybe you talk about sports, maybe you talk about deer hunting or whatever it is, that's all good and well, but somewhere along the way, the abundance of the Word of God in your heart ought to spill out of your mouth. There ought to be some encouragement, some admonishment, something that you say, man, God showed me this in my devotions this morning, and it's just filled up my heart. I got to share it with you. When I talk about what God showed me in the Word, you ought not look at me like I've got three heads. You ought to be like, man, that's awesome. Look at what He showed me. It ought to be natural. We know we're supposed to teach our own children that way. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. It ought to be a natural thing in a home. It ought to be a natural thing at work. It ought to be a natural thing at school. It ought to just be who we are, that the Word of God is in our hearts. Acts 4:20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Don't tell me to shut up about Jesus. I can't help it. I've got to tell you what He's done in my life. Look at Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, I want you to get it. When the word of God dwells in you richly, when the richness and the fullness of the Word of God is in your hearts, it's going to come out. And you're going to use it to teach others. You're going to use it to admonish one another. And there's going to be joy in the Lord. If the Word of Christ dwells in you richly, teaching and admonishing is going to happen naturally. Discipleship, teaching others, ought to happen naturally. It's been a blessing to have some fellowships with the men, and I've seen this happen at men's fellowships because we're there to eat grilled meat. Amen. If you're a vegetarian or a vegan, I love you, and we'll have a salad for you sometime, but there's probably going to be meat involved when the men get together in this church. But it's been good to see that, and people are talking about guns, they're talking about all these other things, but then you walk up and you hear people talking about the things of God. You see an older, more mature Christian admonishing a younger man, and it's a blessing, and that's the way it ought to be. It happens naturally, but it also has to happen intentionally. We have to be intentional as a church and as individual members of the church to be evangelistic, right? Listen, when you get up in the morning and you get ready, you got to stick your gospel tracts in your pocket, or you got to make sure, ladies, that they're in your purse. And if any of you fellas have a purse, we'll have another discussion. But you've got to be intentional about being ready and having your tools together. We've got to be intentional as a church. We schedule soul winning because what gets scheduled gets done. And if we don't schedule it, it won't happen. And so we're intentional about going and taking the gospel out. We've got to be intentional about witnessing to our family and to our friends and to our neighbors and our classmates and coworkers. We've got to be intentional. And the same thing has to happen with discipleship. It's not going to happen on accident. We've got to be intentional about it. We've got to be intentional about reaching the lost. We've got to be intentional about training disciples. Listen, we've got some things in place as a church that are in place for the purpose of discipleship. You know, we have Sunday school for a reason. Our connection groups, our Sunday school classes for the kids, our Calvary teens, those things are in place for a reason. We meet on Wednesday nights for a reason. We bust these kids in and we meet together and we open the Word of God together for a purpose. And that purpose is to see people discipled, to see people grow in their walk with Christ. That's why we do those things. And we need to understand that's why they exist. They exist to carry out the Great Commission. We have those classes so that people can be saved and follow Christ in baptism and grow as disciples and bring others so that they can grow as disciples. We have our Continue Discipleship program, and some of you have been through that. And we're going to have another round of that this fall. And if you've never been through our discipleship training, then you ought to enroll this fall and go through it. So you get that foundational discipleship training so that you can help to train others. We've got to be intentional. You know, in Acts 5:42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." They were intentional every day and every night. 1 Corinthians 4:17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." He was intentional to send somebody who would train the church in the doctrines. It's got to happen naturally as we go through our day-to-day lives, that we are looking for opportunities to encourage people in their walk with the Lord. It's got to be intentional as a church, and it's got to be spiritual. Would you look at one last passage with me? Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Christ in his body, which is the church. "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." I want you to notice in this passage, he says, "I'm a minister, and it's given to me to pass on the mysteries of the Word of God, to give you the truth of the Word of God, and it's my job to pass that on to you." But I want you to get it. All of the things that we would do as a church, all of the soul winning, all of the discipleship, all of the seeing of people coming to Christ and walking with Christ and being real, it can't happen in our own strength. We have to depend on the power of God. Verse 29 says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." I told our Sunday school class this morning that I'm tired. Is anybody else tired? I'm almost done preaching, so I know some of you are really tired now. But I'm not tired so much physically. Teen camp is exhausting. If you ever have a lot of energy and you want to get rid of it, go with us to teen camp. I promise you'll be tired by the time you get home. It's not so much the physical tiredness of it. It's spiritual and mental tiredness. It's exhausting. We see these kids and we prayed, and I want you to know that we took a lot of kids, and I told you some of them weren't sure of their salvation when we got there. A lot of them were sure of it when we left, and one young man was definitely saved from our group this week. But there are others that we sent home lost. And it's overwhelming. We talked to these kids about some of the things that are going on in their lives and what's happening with their parents or their grandparents and their siblings and all the things that are happening in their lives. Guys, it's overwhelming. We look at the culture that we have to battle, and we look at how are we ever going to get people out of that darkness and bring them into God's marvelous light. How are we ever going to win that battle? And it's overwhelming. How are we going to compete against secular culture? How are we going to compete against pop culture? How are we going to compete against Hollywood? How are we going to compete against evolution and atheism and all the other isms we got to battle today? How are we ever going to overcome that? It's overwhelming. How are we going to see a man who doesn't provide for his family, who's into drugs and alcohol, who doesn't love his wife, doesn't take care of his kids? How are we going to see that man come to Christ and get baptized and grow in the Lord and become a real man of God? How are we going to overcome that? It's overwhelming. Well, because the work that we do, we strive according to His working. It's according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Listen, friend, it's not me. I don't have to do it all. I can't do it all. And it's not you. You don't have to do it all. You can't do it all. But when we're submitted to the Lord and He is working in us by His Spirit, we can do all things through Christ. That man who seems so hopeless can have hope. And that woman who's given up all hope because of everything in her life and everyone she's ever trusted has lied to her and abused her and used her, there is a Savior who's given everything for her. There's hope for her. Listen, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to be overcome. We are overcomers. Because it's not us. It's Him. And we need to be faithful to know the Word, to grow in the Word, and to show the Word by a faithful life. And then we can naturally and intentionally pass those truths on to someone else who can pass those truths on to someone else. But here's the truth today, friend. Everything I've said today doesn't matter at all if you're not born again. If you've never personally repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, it doesn't matter. What you do in this life won't matter at all, because when you die, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. But there's hope, because Christ died for you, just like He died for me. And if you'll turn from your sin to God, if you'll trust in Jesus with all your heart, He'll give you everlasting life. And I put before you today a choice, because you've either got death, well, you're already dead in your trespasses and sins, but I'm telling you, Christ came to give you life. And if you'll let go of everything else and grab hold of Jesus, He'll save you today. And then everything you do will matter, because it'll be Him working through you. If you're not saved, I beg you to be saved. If you're saved but you've never been baptized, I plead with you to follow Christ in baptism. And if you're in the church and you're not being a disciple and you're not making disciples, friends, it's time for us as a church to wake up. It's time for us as a church to make a decision. I want to be real, and I want God to use me to reach others. If that's you this morning, any of those things, let's stand together.